G'day there, folks. How you going? This is the Lethal Wallet, and welcome to episode number 178, Brain Smasher, a love story. That's right. The Mullet is going to be covering one of the best action comedies that sort of fell under the radar of a lot of people back in 93 when it was released. But out here in Australia, we saw it in VHS and I really enjoyed it. Again, amazing character for one of our favorites. That is, of course, the one, the only Andrew Dice Clay. Big fan of Andrew Dice Clay's when it came to this film. And, of course, another one we're going to be talking about in a couple of weeks, which is, of course, Ford Fairlane, the rock and roll detective. Hey, folks, how you doing? This is a bit of an impromptu episode. We are getting out episode number 178, as you can see right here, talking about Brain Smasher, a love story. And, of course, it starred Terry Hatcher, Andrew Dice Clay. It also had some amazing stars that you are going to find out about very, very soon. I'm going to keep that under wraps until we get there. But safe to say you're going to enjoy it, folks, because it is a lot of fun. Got a little about books and stuff like that we're going to review and have a look at, which we've been wanting to talk about here on the show for a little while. But without further ado, but folks, we're going to get into the show tonight. Now, I'm the Lethal Mullet, Adam O'Brien, here, of course, at Lethal Mullet Network. Here's the flagship show, of course, Lethal Mullet Podcast, looking at, of course, all the great action movies and, of course, more at, well, this one place from the 80s, 90s, and the 2000s. Everything from Jean-Claude Van Damme to Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis, Jeff Wincott, which we've got a huge shout-out to, and many, many more, folks. There's just so many things on offer when it comes to that stuff out there, folks. So set ourselves here for the show. I'll let you know you can catch us at The Lethal Mullet on socials, okay, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also catch us at, of course, Lethal Mullet Network, which is down on the ticker right here. You can see where my finger's pointing and going. It's following at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com. You can also follow us on the Facebook feeds of Phantom Podcast Network, and, of course, the Twitter feeds as well. There's just so much on offer there when it comes to that stuff too. So what else can we tell you? Well, we can tell you this much, folks. We've got a lot coming up when it comes to older action films. I'm going to be talking about some that you probably haven't seen, and one of those ones is Bat 2-1 coming up very soon, talking about the TV show Tour of Duty. And, of course, another one that's been one that we've wanted to talk about for a little while, which is, of course, Miami Vice. And we'll get into those very, very soon. But here is the news. Okay, so we've been talking about for a little while, you know, martial arts and, of course, martial arts books and stuff like that. And, you know, there's so many different ones on offer. Currently, I'm going through a lot of books by the writer Anthony Cummins, who's a British writer. And along with a translator by the name of Yoshie Minami, he's been translating some of the old ninja scrolls. Now, we're not just talking about the actual, you know, anime and the manga, Ninja Scroll, the TV show and movie. No, we're talking about actual ninja scrolls. And some of his works are this one here, which is, of course, I've shown before, but this is The Secret Traditions of the Shinobi. So as you can see there, unfortunately, it's shining there, so it's hard to see. But that's the book. This is Hattori Hanzo's Shinobi Hidden and Other Ninja Scrolls. Now, what's interesting about reading these is you're not going to get something martial arts. That's just not what these scrolls, none of them. Even the Bunsen Shukai, which is pretty much the premier and the major ninja scroll, this has very little to do with that. This has more to do with the actual skills a ninja would have been, or in this case, Shinobi no Mono. The Shinobi were basically, you know, special forces of the samurai era. They were samurai. They were the class of samurai that wouldn't be going out into the battlefield like, you know, the regular troops or the regular samurai would. These ones instead would be going out doing things just like Green Beret or Navy SEALs would. And that's what makes these really interesting to read, because the ingenuity of, just like James Bond's Q, these guys go out and make amazing technology at the time to get their job done. And just some of them, I mean, they've got helmets that they wear underwater to stop arrows from hitting them when they're trying to get through a castle moat and things like that. I won't spoil it for you. They're pretty ingenious. And there's a number of other schools. Now, one that I've currently always called Koga Ru, there's the big famous Iga and Koga schools, but actually apparently the real translation of that kanji is Koka. Koka, so it's Iga and Koka Ru Ninjutsu. But in this, you actually get the Koka Ru Ninjutsu Densho, which is one that talks about the Edo period and stuff like that too. So some really interesting stuff in there, folks. Along with that, I've got one of his more recent ones too here, which is the Fundamental Samurai Teachings of the Natori Ryu School. This is collected scrolls of a school that's literally been open to Anthony Commons, who's trying to bring back that teaching of that exact Ru, which hasn't been taught for a long time. And basically, it's their whole curriculum for the samurai. And again, done along those lines, translated by Yoshie Miyanami, these older scrolls, just absolutely amazing. And there's over 290 lessons in here. And again, these are scrolls that really haven't been seen to the public since the time they were put out too. Written by Notori Masazumi, which was the first two documents for the Natori Ryu schools. You really should follow, if you're a martial artist and like finding out about the history of martial arts, really need to follow Anthony Cummins on YouTube. His stuff is fantastic. He's really getting the heart of what Bushido was all about back in the day too. Another one I have picked up because of my interest in Bujinkan and of course my training in it years ago is this book here, The Illustrated Ninja Handbook, which is actually quite a damn good read. Again, it's more visual than it is anything else. But again, if you follow or want to follow the teachings of Soke Masaki Atsumi, you'll find all that sort of details in there. Everything down from the weaponry down to the taijutsu, the body arts that are done in the style, it's all there, folks. Definitely worth checking out. There's one thing in my own martial arts journey that I've enjoyed is, you know, the different styles that I've done over the years. Predominantly karate and aikido, but dabbling, of course, moving in Bujinkan, capoeira, and, of course, some southern boxing from China as well. I've really enjoyed all of it, to be honest. It's all fun. But again, there's all different lessons to learn as we go through a lot of those different martial arts and the journeys inside those martial arts too. All right, so with that, we're going to head into the pub. All right, folks, we're going to be chatting about Brain Smasher, A Love Story. Came out in 1993. It's an American romantic comedy directed by Albert Pune. Yes, Albert Pune, who gave us Cyborg, Nemesis. And he also gave us some great action movies, which, come on, folks, you all know those ones. of course, has Andrew Dice Clay in this, who's probably his second best movie, I think, out of what he's done so far. He plays Ed Malloy in this, who is nicknamed the Brain Smasher. And as the Brain Smasher, he is basically a nightclub bouncer in this. And he meets Samantha Crane, played by the amazing, irresistible Samantha Crane's, well, it's Terry Hatcher. So there you go. A little bit lost for words because she's such an amazing talent. And she can really do some great action in this as along lines of two, also doing some great comedy as well. Again, I think I followed her work since Tango and Cash, and she's always been somebody who can not only sing and dance, but, you know, has a real good comedic step as well. So this is an interesting one too, because it's kind of a little bit like particularly, you know, when you've got characters like Ford Fairlane. You know, it's told in an episodic manner that was done almost like he's talking to you, breaking the fourth wall. Similar to Cuffs, there's another one, folks, that was a really good movie we've talked about before. But also Deadpool, for all those comic book nuts that are out there now too. So before we get into it, let's have a look at the work, of course, of the amazing Albert Pune. So goes back to, you know, the early days of B-movie and basically direct-to-video films. This is the guy that I grew up watching. He's got everything from martial arts in his movies to science fiction, dystopic stuff. Post-apocalyptic is pretty much his genre, if you like. He's almost 70 years old. He's done everything. He comes from Hawaii, and he's done a fantastic of movies. He's the director of Sword and Sorcerer, Cyborg, Captain America, yes, the earlier version of Captain America, and Nemesis. So he's had a wide variety of film over the years, and that's what I love about this sort of era too. What's great about Pune's background is that he was invited by Toshiro Mifune to travel to Japan for an internship. And basically he was going to work on Dozo Azala with a Kurosawa. So shows you like how thought of he was at the time too. Sword and the Sorcerer, we're big fans of out here in Lethal Bullet, and certainly is one of those ones, you know, it's got a bizarre sword with the three blades. Very iconic for its time. And, of course, Richard Lynch was so damn good in it too. Of course, the bad guy from Invasion USA and many other films, and, of course, Battlestar Galactica, and I do believe he was in also Buck Rogers. So we've got those two. He was also in Radioactive Dreams he had as a film as well. And then from there, the 90s were pretty much his calling. He'd done, obviously, Cyborg, and then moved into numerous sequels, and, of course, Nemesis as well. And, of course, a lot of people forget Nemesis had Thomas Jane along in that one too, so a future Punisher. But he's also done with that too, Mean Guns with Christopher Lambert and Ice-T. He also did Kickboxer too. Interesting. Which, of course, was written by David Goyer back in the day too. So interesting times, folks, and definitely a director that I've always, they're films that, sure, they may not be the greatest, but they're certainly fun to go through and watch. So Ed Molloy is a tough bouncer in Portland, Oregon. And basically, he's the talk of the town when it comes to getting things a bouncer. But from here, he mixes in with a group, which will literally get him in touch with tragedy, magic, kung fu, comedy, and more. You know, mysticism, fanaticism, it's all there. So he meets Samantha Crane, who's a supermodel, and basically he believes he's number one, his true love, if you like. Cammy's sister is basically like Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones. You know, he's basically caught between what's going on between the sisters. So we've got Samantha Crane, who's, being chased by all these fanatical guys that basically seem like they're Shaolin monks, which we'll get to in a sec. But, of course, with the Indiana Jones flip with the sister, who's Cammy Crane, played by Deborah Van Valkenburg. Quite damn good in this film, I've got to say so. She basically sets them all off on this hero's journey, if you like, which always turns out to be quite hilarious in this. So these Chinese Shaolin monks who know high-flying martial arts are basically after the lotus, and it's a very rare lotus flower. And basically the petals of these flowers, if you eat it, will give you infinite power, infinite energy. And, of course, the gag is through the film is that anyone that's basically not one of the Shaolin monks thinks that they're all ninjas. And so that's the gag through the film that they try and put on it. So from here, Samantha gets the package and is basically, Cammy's trying to get away from them all because she's been chased by the monks. She's trying to get back to America. And, of course, the monks on her tail. The package that she gets, of course, is the lotus flower itself. So the chase is on. And, of course, this is where we get all the monks trying to chase and take down the cranes. And, of course, in the middle of all that is Ed Molloy in his crazy little world too. So when she goes through this, the city of Portland, she goes to a bar, and then, of course, this is where Dice plays. Ed Molloy is the bouncer. Molloy sees the trouble, especially with the monks, and starts to help her, and, of course, whisks her away to, of course, freedom, and basically helps them do everything that needs to be done. So let's have a look at the cast. We've got Andrew Dice Clay playing Ed Molloy. Dice Clay, you know, interesting, you know, background. Obviously, his comedy is probably not as popular these days due to just how full on it is, and it certainly is full on. You know, and it's because, you know, at the end of the day, he's somebody who's, you know, it's more an offensive comedy, I guess. But, you know, it's comedy of its time. And he certainly has that sort of, you know, great persona as the Dice Man, this character that he's created. And, of course, he was born Andrew Clay Silverstein, and he's a musician, producer, a stand-up comic, and, you know, actor now, obviously, too. But the best role he's known for is, of course, The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, directed by Rennie Harlan, which we're going to be talking about in a couple of weeks here, too. And, of course, his tough guy persona, which is part of the Dice Man routine. And he pretty much is the Dice Man now. You see him in public, he is the Dice Man, just what it is. But, you know, he's got a certain chemistry, and it certainly works for this. Deborah Vandenberg. To be honest, I don't know too much about her apart from, of course, being in Warriors. Again, the Warriors cult film, classic. It's just one of those great ones. And, yeah, so she's also been in Mean Guns as well. She's also in King of the Mountain, in Streets of Fire. Oh, there's one that Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel himself wants us all to talk about here on the show soon. And we'll certainly look at that too. All right, let's have a look at it. We have also as Wu, the leader of the Shaolin monks, Yuji Okamoto. Of course, Yuji Okamoto is one of the greats when it comes to, I tell you what, being in almost every project that I have loved watching over the years. Obviously, Chosen Taguchi from the Karate Kid Part 2, and now, of course, Cobra Kai. He was in Aloha Summer, Pearl Harbor, Contact, The Truman Show, TJ Hooker, Knots Landing. He's also in Nemesis as well. So he's been in a lot of stuff, folks, and a lot that, you know, is just still to this day, it's out there. He's more into restauranting these days than he is acting, and we'll get into a little bit of that too soon. So his performance in the play Indians was what led him to being working on shows like The Young and the Restless. And then he also was... and from there, he also worked, of course, in Karate Kid and moving on various other projects like that too. And, of course, we're big fans of his work here on, of course, being the producer behind, of course, the Paper Tigers. And if you haven't seen that, you have to, folks, because guess what? It is freaking awesome. And to all involved in the paper, we are huge fans out here. And so if you're in Japan, you enjoy, and enjoy indeed. It's a great film. Obviously, he's now reprising the role of Chosen in Cobra Kai season 3, and he's back now in season 5 as well, as he's going to be taking on all of them pretty much. So we've got also him involved in 3x3 Eyes, the anime, Robot Wars, which is great. If you like Sato and him reuniting that one too. American Yakuza, Blue Tiger, Red Sun Rising, Mean Guns, The Game, Sorceress, Fortress 2, Reentry. We all know where the first Fortress was made, eh, folks? And, of course, he played Wing in this one, of course, The Paper Tigers. And, of course, he was in Driven as well back in 2018. Busy guy, very, very busy. These days, he's got I do believe it's a Hawaiian-themed restaurant chain in Seattle, I think it was. So big shout-out to Yuji, because always doing things, always where it is, and in the who is working and stuff like that too. All right, so let's have a look at it. We've got the late great Brian James of Blade Runner fame, Tango and Cash, as Detective Brown. And he's a regular with, of course, the movies of Albert Pune. Must be a friend because he's always turning up. We also have Peter Kwong as the Red Monk. Peter Kwong, huge when it comes to working with, of course, Albert. He's worked with Albert before, I do believe. But also Peter was in Big Trouble in Little China and a number of other amazing films out there too, folks. So, again, Peter's always great to see in different roles all over the place. Tim Thomason as Detective Black. Tim Thomason, folks. Well, his real name is, of course, Joseph Timothy Thomason. And he's known for the Transis films, or as we know out here in Australia, Future Cop. And, of course, he played Jack in the Transis series. And it just seems to keep going. I think there's about five of them now. Great little B-movies. You'd probably call them Z-movies, actually. They're not really that well-paid, folks, when it comes to it. But they're fun. I mean, you know, there's some great talent involved in it, and it is a fun character. He also served as a cook in a tank company with Brian James. So they go back to, obviously, knowing each other there too. He's born in Coronado, California, but was brought up in Hawaii and then in San Diego. There you go, folks. But, of course, just he's in so much material, folks. We've got to check it out one day. All right, Charles Rocket in this as well. Charles Rocket. He played the villain Nicholas Andre in the film Dumb and Dumber. Okay, now I think I remember who this guy is now. And he's been involved in everything from sketch comedy, SNL, and obviously he's worked in other stuff as well. Mainly that post-SNL career has been on Third Rock from the Sun, Touched by an Angel, and Moonlighting. So, yeah, interesting. But it looks like he's done a lot of film and a lot of TV as well since then. But, again, great stuff. Nicholas Guest, folks. Come on, you should know Nicholas Guest. Nicholas Guest, well, getting down to it with Nicholas, he's been in a lot of stuff over the years, which, you know, I think the biggest one is you know, he's got his brother who probably known a little bit more, but both involved in a lot of stuff over the years. Now, best one I remember him for, of course, is The Long Riders, where he played Robert Ford, and his brother played the other Ford brother. He was also a cadet in Star Trek II. The Wrath of Khan. So there you go, folks. He's also been involved in a lot of work on the sides too, doing voices and things like that. Obviously, his brother is, of course, Christopher Guest. Now, Christopher Guest, you should all remember very well for the Six-Fingered Man, of course, in Princess Bride. And he was also involved in, of course, This Is Spinal Tap, which is probably what he's known for more than anything, I guess, these days. The Spinal Tap is just one of those ones you have to have seen. But, of course, he played Count Rugen alongside, of course, Billy Crystal and all those other characters in, of course, The Princess Bride. So let's get down to it. What does the film really have to offer? Well, folks, it's got a lot to offer. One of the keen things about Brain Smasher is the humor. It's, you know, it's not full-on Dice Clay-style humor. It's, you know, it's funny and irreverent, but also it's of the moment. So it's more sitcom-like than others. Plus, with Terry Hatcher there, he's got somebody to really fire a lot of these comedy salvos off. And against, and they do it quite well. It's fantastic. And then, of course, there's the comedy against Yuji and, of course, Peter Kwong. Who do it quite well. And, of course, then you got the policeman as well in there. A couple of big chase scenes, some great punch-ups here and there, particularly when Brain Smasher gets all fired up and he wants to fight. But even then, too, even some of the effects that we see once people are punched later in the film, particularly the makeup work they had to do on Yuji, is priceless. It's hilarious. This film is worth your time, folks. It is a 3.5 out of 5 on, of course, the Hallenbach scale. Well, that's about all we have time here for, of course, on episode number 178 of the show. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, and we'll definitely be delving into some TV territory in the next couple of weeks here on the Leela Mullet Network. We will catch you then, but for now, chill, relax, and of course, enjoy action film cinema.